Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning reading at the 17th verse. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. These are the words, "Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Please be seated. 2 years ago, my wife and I became parents. In time, we had 4 children. And I think all parents, as they watch their children grow, have ideas, goals, expectations, notions of what they would like to see in their children. I think all parents would like to see their children be above average in intelligence and in good looks, that their children would be athletic and musical and intellectual and nice and well-liked and popular, all of those things. And you know, as a parent, when you're watching your little children grow, you think about all of these things, your goals, expectations, hopes for your children, and then you start plugging them into occupations. Oh, this, my daughter will be a doctor, and this, my son, he's going to be a computer genius. And this is sort of the way we look at things, and this is the kind of conversation that parents have about their children. And we were just typical parents, and we had those kinds of conversations. Until one day, my wife totally simplified and clarified everything. One day she said, "You know, I only have one goal for our children, and that is that we see each and every one of them in heaven." Now, to me, that's extremely insightful, and it is totally Christian, because it reminds us that we must die, and after that, the resurrection. Why must we die? Because we're sinners. If there was no sin, there would be no death. We sin, we die. That's fact. But then what happens? Her goal for our children was that they remain strong and steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. What a wonderful goal. Well, here in our text today before us, we find a person who is unanimously credited as having one of the greatest faiths there ever has been. And he also had that view of the resurrection first and foremost in his mind. And I'm talking about Abraham. I'm going to tell the story of Abraham again, and I know you won't get bored because it's such a dramatic, true story. It's a life event which actually occurred and is there for our learning. And so it was that Abraham was a man of great, great, great faith. And he and God spoke often. They knew each other so well. Abraham, what a man of faith. God had promised him that through his line, that is Abraham and Isaac, and therefore down the line, one day would come the Messiah, who in this sin-infested world would take the sin of the world upon himself and be the sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the whole world. The Messiah would come through the lines of Abraham and Isaac. And now Abraham is an old, old man, and he's got a fine young son. And then one day God says to him, "Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, go to a place that I will tell you, and there you are to slaughter him as an offering to me." So let's go through some of the details here. The Bible says that early the next morning, Abraham got up and started off on his journey. Now, stop right there and think about what that means. God says, "Abraham, take your son and slaughter him," and he gets up early the next morning and sets off on that journey. But my question is, what kind of night did he have before leaving? We think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with all of our sins weighing heavy on his shoulders, and his talking and his prayer and his sweating blood. what must it have been like for Abraham that night before he got up early and set off on his journey? What questions were racing through his mind? I can only think of questions like, I will do this. God has told me to do this. How can I do this? Is there no way around doing this? How can I ever explain to my wife and Isaac's mother that I just killed her son? Oh, that must have been an agonizing night. Nevertheless, he set out on his journey. The journey was about a 3-day journey. And so what was going on in his mind? Isaac's so happy. He's just a boy. He's running around. He thinks this is a father-son outing. Will he resist when I tie him up? What will be the look and expression on his face as I plunge the knife into him? I think you have to realize that Abraham was not only a man of faith, but he was a human being as well. It must have been an unbearable burden that he was carrying those days to fulfill the command of God. So my question is, what drove him on in his faith? What was it? And thanks be to God, he gives us the answer of what it was that drove Abraham forward. It's in these words of our text. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And now we can climb back into Abraham's mind and see it more clearly. God gives life. Abraham knew that. God takes life. And in fact, he was taking this life as far as Abraham was concerned. But God can restore life. God had made a promise to Abraham that through his lineage, the world would be blessed, and God will not go back on his promises. And so what's God going to do? He's going to perform a mighty miracle of resurrection because God can do that, and he will do that. And so Abraham took his son. He took him to the top of a mountain. He built an altar. He put the wood down. He put his son there and was about to plunge the knife into him when God stopped him, provided the ram in the thicket, and praised him for his faith, for his Easter faith, for his resurrection faith. You know, these true stories of the Bible are given to us for our learning. What if we started to see things through the eyes of the resurrection? What if we put things in the big picture instead of just being concerned with the minutiae of daily life? That's what my wife did when she cut through the chase and she said, my only goal for the kids is that we see them in heaven. That's the big picture. That's the Christian picture. Abraham could cut through all of the details that were gnawing on his mind to see the big picture. God is God. God makes promises that he keeps. God has all power. You know, in heaven, I wonder how many conversations Abraham has had with Jesus. Conversations about, here is the author of life, Jesus Christ, who leaves his throne on high, who comes to our earth, who lives the perfect life we can't, and so we're credited with it. That same Jesus Christ, God, allows himself to be sacrificed for all of us on that tree of the cross, and then brings himself back to life. And he's the first fruits of those who fall asleep in faith. What if we started to adopt that big picture of the resurrection? Oh, how wonderfully we will see things. How our lives will be changed. Our faiths will be strengthened. And one day God will say of you, oh, what a wonderful strong faith you have too. Come into the mansions prepared for you. Amen. Please turn to page 49 in the front part of the hymnal. We are going to pray together the Lord's Prayer found on page 49. Please rise. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing our hymn. now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.